When I was discerning what word I might bring to you today, and particularly since we are standing in the present moment because of the circumstances of this week and the celebrations of this week, both looking backward and looking forward. So we're looking back and we're looking forward, but we're in the present moment. That's an interesting dynamic. And so, not wanting to lean to my own understanding, I went to the lectionary, which is often my practice, to see what scripture some wise folks have chosen for this particular day. And as I read through the particular ones that had been presented for this Sunday, I was drawn to the 84th Psalm. I said, well, thank you, Lord. I think we'll go with that. And so hear the words of the 84th Psalm. And I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O God, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise, Selah. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As I go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. God bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your presence with us here this morning. We're grateful that you greeted us with the rising of the sun as we were rousing ourselves from sleep, excited even about the things that had transpired the days before. And we look forward to being in this place. And so we are here, and so are you. And so, God, we ask that you would open up our hearts, that we might hear a fresh word from you. Not my words, O God, but your word. And so may I decrease and may we all decrease in order for you to increase in our hearts. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When I read this 84th Psalm, it was like reading it for the first time. And I thought, as I was struck by the words that he uses here, my Lord, this psalmist can't wait to get to church. He wanted desperately to get back to that place where God dwelled in a special way. Sometimes I think that we are like that psalmist. We too can't wait to get back to church. Amen? I'm sure that's true for you sometimes and maybe not quite so true for you other times. But when church is happening well, it does feel like the primary place where God dwells, where God's presence is expanded, not only within our hearts, but in the hearts of the community. We know that God is with us wherever we go, and so God dwells wherever we go and where the people of God are. But God dwells especially in the most holy places. And so we come to these holy places in order to regather our strength so that we might keep on living this life that God has given us. And so we're here for that reason on a given Sunday, on this day in particular. And so as I read the scripture, this 84th psalm, I wondered how long this psalmist had been away. Had he been there just the day before, like you all? Or had it been a long, long time since he had been in the house of the Lord? And he couldn't wait to get back there. Whether it was a night or a fortnight or much longer, his heart was ready to reconnect with God. It's like coming home. Most of us work, and we know how tiring it is to get home after a long day of work. And if it had been a short period of time, we are so happy, if you're like me, to finally get home. Finally, the beautiful things that I have acquired for my home are in sight. The comfortable spaces, my couch are there. My special chair where I pray to God and where I read is in sight, and I can't wait to plop myself down there. Being home is special. And it's even more special if you are blessed with having other folks that share your home with you. Hi, honey. I'm home. Mom, dad, children, I'm home. There you are. I've been looking for you. I've missed you. I'm so glad to see you. And if we have those kinds of homes where the doors swing on the hinges of welcome, we want to bring others there so they might experience in part the specialness of our homes. Our church, as you know, is like that home for us. It's a place where family, the family of God, is gathered in love. And when we're doing our jobs well, we welcome others without hesitation. And we say, God is here with us. Welcome. There's plenty to share. So we come to this place called Greenwood Baptist Church, where God is the host. So sometimes we can't wait to get back to church because of our need for a sincere, refreshed connection with God, because we're experiencing something difficult in our lives. We can't wait to get back to that source of strength. And at other times, we can't wait to get back to church because something joyful, something exciting is happening. Sometimes both of those things are happening simultaneously. Kind of like for us this weekend. We're going through something difficult and we're going through something exciting at the same time. And we're torn between how to feel. But we do know that in the midst of standing in the present looking at the past and looking to our imagined future, that God is here with us. So we have a bit of sadness. You were told that I was a good friend of Pastor Jones. And I dearly love seeing him. I saw him last summer. He looks weakened, but he looks strong at the same time. And even though Pastor Jones has been gone for a couple of years, and our grieving started when he departed at that time, knowing that God was preparing this church and him for a new thing, we still feel it profoundly because he was in our hearts. And so we're very sad about the people of Ohio, for the Jones family, and for ourselves. But in the midst of this sadness, as I have suggested just moments ago, there is a profound hope for us. It's an exciting time. You're here not just because you're curious about this vibrant young woman who was sitting in the front before us and who will minister in this service in a few moments, but we believe that God has prepared us and is preparing you to receive the person that God has sent. I was reminded of the parable from Matthew 13 of the merchant who went in search of fine pearls. And after finding in his search a particularly fine pearl, he recognized it as such and put everything on the line to acknowledge the rarity and beauty of a particular pearl. The search committee has been acting like the merchant. They looked high and low, went to all the ends of New York and beyond in search of a fine pearl. They put that pearl up to scrutiny, made sure it had a luster and gleam, some color and character. And it's presenting to you the work of their hands. What a fine search committee. They put their lives and their credibility on the line, saying this person is very precious. We hope you recognize that too. And so at this moment, I believe we should acknowledge that God has filled our cups. And I see our because you all are a part of us as a region. This church's cup is being filled. I hope you perceive it. As we look to the 84th Psalm again, and the verse that captured me as I was listening for God's word to us, it's found in the 7th verse, where the psalmist talks about going from strength to strength. As you have traveled together these last couple of years of transition here at the church, you may reminisce and think that when Pastor Jones was here, we were so strong. You must have felt strong, I'm sure. And it was a time of certain strength here at Greenwood Baptist Church. And you're looking forward to that next marker of strength. I think it might be helpful to think of those times of strength as being pillars or markers for you. And so the psalmist talks about going from strength to strength. But if you look at the psalm, in order to go from strength to strength, you have to go through a valley. The Valley of Baca is called here. And so you're here at a point in the church's life where you're strong. And then you have to go through the valley. That valley can be a long, extended, arid, dry place. Going through the valley a little longer. So you get to that strength. From strength to strength is a valley. But we can learn a lot in the valley. We exercise different muscles in the valley. In order to climb the mountain to the strength, we have to keep our muscles intact and strengthened and toned in order to get to the next place of strength. And when it's time to get to that place of strength, we find that our spiritual muscles have not atrophied if we have been diligent, but they continue to progress so that with God's leading, we are able to ascend to the next area of strength. I don't know exactly what has happened in this church over the last couple of years, except through anecdotes and checking in with the search committee and some of the leaders from time to time. But as I think about 2017 and 2016, and as I reflect back, it felt like a valley of Baca to me. If we remember, 2017 was a turbulent time socially. Our expectations, our norms were overturned. Experiences in the world were topsy-turvy. Natural disasters that kept going and going and going. That valley for us as a culture was difficult. And many of us, if you were like me, you were yearning for what felt like the strength that existed before. But we have been called to go through the valley in order to get to another area of strength. I'm going to tell you about an experience I had on Epiphany Sunday. I was with my mother in church. And the 31st of December is a good time to reflect on what has happened in the year. I was sitting next to my mother, and God brought to my memory a wonderful, profound experience I had in creation on the Colorado, where I beheld with awestruck eyes the canyons and the water, and was mesmerized in that beauty by God's grandeur and love. That memory morphed into another memory of being in a congregation where the people's faces were aglow, not because of what I was saying, but because of God's presence with them. And then my memory went to an experience with friends and with family where God's presence was there comforting me. And one experience after another began to unflower like a kaleidoscope. And I began to object. And I said, God, you're showing me memories from 2017, but so much bad has happened in 2017. And I stood there and I sat there and I waited. And church, not one devastating bad memory came back to me. And I was overwhelmed by the sense of God's presence and graciousness, even in the midst of the valley. For when all is said and done, even though we know that we have sometimes been through the valley, we remember God's presence with us and how God transforms our experience, even of the valley. So God leads us from strength to strength daily. And verse 11 tells us that the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Now, the metaphor of sun is particularly helpful to me right now because I love the sunlight. I love summer. And I've noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed, even on an overcast day, that the light in the earth, upon the earth, is beginning to return. From the lowest light of day from December 20th, 6 weeks ago, to now, the light has increased by about an hour. I'll take that hour. For those of you who might be light wonks, today there will be 10 hours and 17 minutes of light in Brooklyn, as compared to 9 hours and 16 minutes on December 21st. The light matters to us because we can see better. We can see more during those times. But you know what? The sunlight doesn't matter to God. For the psalmist tells us that the light and the dark are the same to God. But it matters to us. With our finite eyes and with our human experience, the experience of light reminds us that the world continues to revolve and rotate around the sun, and God's presence is with us despite that rotation. Happy are those of us who trust in God. This happiness is not the joy that we think we have or will eventually experience, or the joy that we have experienced in the past. But that happiness is the happiness of God working in us in the now. Can you not perceive it? Happiness in faith is knowing that God has said to you, I've got you. In the midst of sadness, God is saying, I've got you. I've got your brother Ernest. He's in my care and keeping. I've got him. He worked hard. I've said to him, well done. And I've got you. In those moments when things are changing, I've got you. I'm here. And I've got you when you know that you can't control every change that is unfolding, which, to tell you the truth, is every day. I've got you. For God has told us, I will withhold no good thing from you. I've got you. Amen.